Hello everybody, it's George Milo. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about J.R.R. Tolkien. Well, I've only met two people ever who knew his full name, John Ronald Ruel Tolkien. So Ruel, R-E-U-E-L. Methinks it must be a Hebraic name, ending in L, as in whatever, God or the Lord. So so he's a celebrated writer in the English language, having most notably penned The Hobbit, published 1937, and The Lord of the Rings, published 1954 into 55. So his fiction has widely been appreciated all across the world, and those two novels have never been out of print. So it was like modern mythology. They wrote them in the 20th century. They're almost like the sort of myth people would have come over, come up with previous centuries or even millennia earlier. So that is Tolkien, a British writer, also claimed by South Africa because of his birthplace, Bloemfontein, in what was then the Oranje Vrystaat. So it was under British paramountcy. Now it's the Free State, which is part of South Africa. So what else about Tolkien? And he's born there to British parents who'd emigrated out of the UK, immigrated into the Orange Free State, because his dad was a bank manager and offered a major promotion to go there. South Africa then being a bit like the Wild West, so it was possible to get rich quick, but it was also dangerous. The European immigrants fighting the autochthonous people, and a few years later, those of Dutch descent battling against those of British descent for mastery in that region. So the British came out on top, but he had a brother who was a couple of years younger, and then when he was three, Tolkien, his mother, and his baby sibling returned to the United Kingdom to visit their relatives, but only weeks later, they got word that his father had died of a sudden illness. So he never returned to the land of his birth, South Africa. He had some German ancestry a few generations earlier. He thought his surname was derived from Tolkien, as in foolhardy, but apparently got the etymology wrong. But his ancestry was mostly British, more specifically English, and from the Birmingham area. And it was to Birmingham that he returned, living with his mother's family. But when he was eight, his mother died as well. So by the age of eight, he'd lost both his parents, had only his younger brother. So they were Christians of the Protestant denomination, but his mother had then converted to Catholicism after they returned from South Africa. And that was highly unusual. Most British people, apart from us Irish, viewed Catholicism as something foreign. Some even thought it was sinister. And for someone, so it was pretty unusual to cross the Tiber then, especially if you're middle class. The upper class did that sometimes. So there he grew up. And indeed, his guardian was a Catholic priest. So he read with great avidity. And, his mother's family, who were Baptists, as in free church, they firmly disapproved and they wouldn't give her any money because of that. So Tolkien, he then went to an excellent school in Birmingham. He previously worshipped at the Birmingham Oratories and set up by John Henry Cardinal Newman. But he went to King Edward's School, Birmingham, which is the most celebrated school in what was then the second biggest city in the United Kingdom, founded by King Edward VI. No place for fop or idlers, he said. So Edward VI, the godly imp, the new Josiah. And he was a fervent Protestant, so perhaps ironic that Tolkien should have attended that one, but it was the most academic school in that city. Well, he distinguished himself as a scholar and so forth. And so then he traveled widely around Germany and so on, and was someone who was superb at languages. But he was offered a scholarship to Exeter College, Oxford, as in one of the colleges of Oxford University, in 1913. And by this time, the young Tolkien, he started dating a lady 4 years older than him, Edith Bratt. 4 years is a bit of an age gap and highly unusual for the girl to be older than the boy. But the Catholic priestess's guardian said, no, you will break off your relationship with her. You're not to correspond with her till she's to your 21. If you do, I will end all financial assistance, because his scholarship was insufficient to fund him through his university studies. Remember, before the First World War, about 1% of people went on to university. So went on initially to read classics as in Latin and ancient Greek, but actually decided he was going to read English. English was relatively new as an academic subject. Some people thought it wasn't even worthy of academic study. I don't remember who said English literature is what a gentleman reads in his spare time, because they thought it was just ephemera. Anyhow, so He got into Oxford, and he got into Anglo-Saxon mythology and so forth. So he's fascinated by all that. He carried on practicing his Catholic faith zealously. The First World War broke out. Some of his family believed that he should instantly throw up his studies and volunteer for the army, but this he declined to do so. So they thought it was disgraceful. But anyway, he did. He when he reached 21, he got back in touch with Edith Bratt, what an unfortunate surname, and said, "Okay, can we rekindle our relationship?" And she said, "John, I got some bad news for you. I'm engaged." He said, "Break off the engagement." Well, she did. She did. Oh, I'm glad you like it. Okay, good, good, good. I'm glad you're entertained. Well, I wonder who that is, Drew. I'm sure I've never met somebody by that name. Okay, so it goes on, and then she so they got married, but his her family firmly disapproved. Partly, he was a Roman Catholic. Second of all, they said he doesn't have much money, and third of all, said, well, he's about to go and get killed in the First World War. But so they did wed, and he went off to the First World War. And he'd acquired fluency in French and German, very useful for intelligence purposes. He was wounded in the First World War, managed to survive. So many people were killed in that war, of course. That's the bloodiest war the United Kingdom has ever fought. If you compare it to wars fought in these islands even before the First World War, it was bloodier than the English Civil War. I mean, in Ireland, maybe the Cromwellian Wars were bloody for ours. Okay, so after the Battle of Somme, he managed to survive and get home and resume his academic career, working on the English Oxford English Dictionary and tutoring, including the two ladies' colleges, St. Hugh's Colleges, Lady Margaret Hall, and so forth. He briefly worked at the University of Leeds in the early 1920s. He was even offered a post in South Africa, but he declined. So, and he and his wife were blessed with three sons and a daughter in that order. His daughter Priscilla, she only died 2 years ago. So when he went moved to marry Edith Bratt, she had to sign the marriage register and it said father's name. And now she was born outside of wedlock, and her mother refused to tell her father's name. So in her panic, she wrote down her maternal uncle's name, in as much as he fulfilled that role in her life, because that invalidated the marriage certificate. Anyway, it's actually a crime to lie in such an official document, but she got away with it. Okay, so yeah, after a few years in Leeds, he returned to Oxford, and although he'd been undergraduate at Exeter, he was then a don at Exeter College, Oxford. Sorry, at Pembroke College, Oxford, an Anglo-Saxon speciality. That's why he knew all about the myths of from Old Norse languages, and that's why his stories are full of orcs and trolls and things in caves and whatever curious creatures, elves, right in the Elvish language, and it's a complete language, and so on. So he translated Beowulf anew. He was fascinated by Anglo-Saxon, particularly the West Midlands dialect thereof. Remember, language didn't change as much, obviously partly because travel was so slow. It was much more regionalized, and he used to decipher German codes in the Second World War. You had to obviously be a logician, but the other thing is have absolute mastery of the German language. Okay, so what else about him? Very religious, and indeed one of his sons became a priest. Okay, so he retired in 1959, but when in a moment of boredom, he wrote in the 1930s his marking exam papers, "Once upon a time there lived in the ground a hobbit," and that led to him publishing The Hobbit, which was a sensation, and then Lord of the Rings. And by the late 50s, actually rather a wealthy man. So he lived quite modestly. Basil Blackwell of the bookshop, he was his next door neighbor, and indeed he was friends with C.S. Lewis. But when C.S. Lewis married a divorced woman, Tolkien was open in disapprobation, but he did not break off his friendship, saying, "This is adultery. I don't care that her husband is philandering. I don't care that he's an alcoholic or he beats her up. Marriage is a sacrament for life. It cannot be dissolved." And actually, Tolkien's wife Edith was one of the few Oxford women who was friendly with Joy Davidman, or Joy Gresham, as he wished to call her. C.S. Lewis's wife. She was not everybody's cup of char, put it like that, with his rather brassy New York manner. Anyhow, so Tolkien, by the 60s, some of the students were smoking some very potent substances indeed, and always knocking on his door, well, always phoning him up. And there was no such thing as caller ID, there were no mobiles, he couldn't switch off a phone. They had to have the phone removed. And because people were knocking on the doors at all times of night, especially if they were tripping or something, they decided we just got to get out of here. And in their retirement, they moved to Bournemouth on the southern coast, so they wouldn't be found. But his wife died there in 1971. So then he decided to move back to Oxford. Merton College, Oxford, gave him rooms to live in retirement. You can find videos of him speaking on YouTube. He often has his heroes as being tall, although he's actually of average height himself. And he died in 1973, on the 2nd of September, a significant date, I think. And on a trip back to Bournemouth, ironically, he's buried in Wolvercote Cemetery, just north of Oxford. It's so popular, there's actually a sign pointing to his grave. It's in the Catholic section of it. So that is Tolkien. There are loads of things named in his honor in Birmingham, the city where he grew up. Yeah, there were various houses he lived in Oxford, in east of the city, in the north of the city, there, where he and the things named after the characters he created. And the Tolkien Society of the USA has an annual dinner where they speak in Elvish. He was part of the Inklings, that literary circle of C.S. Lewis and others from roughly 1930 to 1950, and his son Christopher Tolkien was in it. Charles William, Owen Barfield, Neville Coghill, Dorothy L. Sayers, the only woman. There was a Catholic priest, there was an Anglican priest who were in it. Various Londoners would come up for it, meeting Tuesday and Thursday for beer and conversation and critiquing each other's work. So that was, there's no constitution, there's no rule book or membership list. It was just by invitation. It was a conversational society. So that was him. Anyway, he was a rather apolitical person. That is Tolkien. Okay, so what do you think of him? So widely appreciated, been made into films many, many times. With the Tolkien estate, I suppose, is must have so much money must have gone to the royalties. I don't know what was done with them. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. And actually, the University Parks is the memorial bench to J.R.R. Tolkien.